This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
...identify them to the point where we cannot benefit them, benefit from these verses outside of the story, but they do give us enough context for us to understand what was being said. And the verses that I recited were revealed during the sixth year of Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ, Surah An-Nisa. This is the sixth year of Hijrah. This year was a difficult year because a lot of social... Should I put it up a little bit, or what's going on with it? A lot of social challenges presented themselves. And for example, the fitna of Sayyidah Aisha, radiallahu anha, the accusation of Sayyidah Aisha, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, marriage of Sayyidah Zainab. And these were problems that were social in nature, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, struggled with them on a level that was different than maybe battle, for example. If you go to battle, that's a military struggle. But then socially, it's actually, I think, way worse. I think the Prophet alayhi salam found these struggles to be much more detrimental than battle. So here's the context of the story. I'll tell you the story, and then we'll go through the verses and see if you can appreciate, inshallah, the beauty of what we just recited. There was a man, his name is Qatada ibn al-Nu'man. Qatada was an early Muslim, Madani Muslim. So I say early Muslim, for the people of Medina, that was, meaning he accepted Islam during the time of Mus'ab ibn Umayr, when he sent during the 11th and 12th year of Bi'tha. Because obviously the people of Medina were not presented Islam until a bit later. So he was an early Muslim in terms of the Madani Muslims. Qatada ibn al-Nu'man, radiallahu anhu, he's known, he has a hadith that he's narrated. And this story is narrated in both Musnad Imam Ahmad and Sunan Imam al-Tirmidhi. So that's where you can find the actual story that I'm going to tell you. And it has an authentic chain narration. And it's narrated by Qatada himself and by Ibn Abbas and another one. Just FYI. So Qatada ibn Nu'man had an uncle. His name was Rafa'a ibn Zayd. Qatada's name is Qatada ibn Nu'man ibn Zayd al-Khazraji. Sorry, al-Awsi. And Rafa'a ibn Zayd is also Awsi, so they're all from the tribe of Aws, and that's an important piece of context. Keep that in mind for a moment. Rafa'a was an elderly man, and he was almost blind. And Qatada had spent a long time trying to get his uncle to accept Islam. And that's also a piece kind of information that not all the people in Medina had accepted Islam. Even by the time he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, there were still people in Medina who were mushrikeen, who did not accept Islam, and they lived there, and that was fine. That's in addition to the munafiqeen as a group of people that were identified in the Quran as well. So Rafa'a didn't accept Islam early, and his nephew Qatada, who loved him a lot, pushed him to accept Islam, and he finally did. So he was very happy with that, and he was very protective of the fact that his uncle accepted Islam. So Rafa'a one day bought some wheat and food, and he put it in a mashraba. It's called Dafilat al-Darmak, and this is a caravan of food that would come from Sham to the areas within Arabia, selling wheat and selling barley and selling tamar and stuff. So for people, and people would do muna, if you know, where they would take food and they would put it in a shed or somewhere in the attic and just hold on to it for a couple of months, and they'd keep it there. So he that's what Rafa'a did. He bought some food and he bought some wheat and he put it in a shed behind his house. Within that shed, he also had some. He also had a sword and a dirah, which is a shield. He had a shield that he had hid there. After he did that, the night he bought all of this, his shed was broken into and it was stolen. He wasn't upset in the morning about the wheat or the barley. He was upset about the dirah, about the shield. The shield was very expensive. And back then, arsenal and armor, this was hard to come by. You find good metal. For example, Damascus steel. You ever heard of Damascus steel? Al-Hadid al-Dimashqi was something that was difficult to come by. And if you had it, it was worth a lot of money. And you did not, almost you never sold it. So Rafa'a, he lost the dirah, and it bothered him a lot. So he told Qatada ibn al-Nu'man. Qatada says, فَخِفْتُ عَلَىٰ إِيمَانِهِ. I was scared for his deen, because he just accepted Islam and now someone stole him. Yeah, someone just robbed him. And I was like, I need to... So he went and he did some investigation to figure out who stole it. So he followed the trail of wheat, because whoever picked up the wheat bag, there was a hole in it, and there was a trail of wheat. So he followed the trail of wheat, And it took him towards a neighborhood. And after that wasn't clear anymore. But it took him towards a neighborhood. So he asked around and they said, أَلَا إِنَّ يعني آلَ أُبَيْرِقْ قَدْ اسْتَوْقَدُوا الْبَارِحَ وَلَا نَرَاهُمْ إِلَّا قَدْ طَعِمُوا عَلَى مَالِ رِفَاعَةً. We heard last night there was a fire and there was food in the family of Ubayriq, a Khazraji family. Another piece of the information that you should hold on to for a moment. And we don't think we know that they have almost nothing. So we're pretty sure that whatever food they were eating was whatever they stole from Rafah. Banu Ubayriq are three brothers: Bashir and Bishr and Mubashir. Bashir was a known Munafiq. That doesn't mean anything because Munafiqeen who lived in Medina were not people you could call them Munafiqeen to their faces. The Prophet ﷺ never used that that strategy, even though he knew who they were, but he never did. So when we say Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul was a known Munafiq, that doesn't mean the Prophet ﷺ pointed him out during that time, nor did any of the Sahaba ever point him out to be one during their lives. We just know that now. But back then, he was a Muslim, like everyone else. He was treated equally, and he was not allowed, you couldn't defame him or speak ill of him. So Bashir was known to people because كان يهجو أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام for money. He would say poetry in defamation of the Sahaba, of the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for wealth. So he was known, but obviously you can't point him out to be so. So Qatada saw this and he got very upset because they're Muslims. So he goes back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He tells him, "This is what I found." فَغْتَمَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ So he got very upset, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Why? Because Aus and Khazraj. Because Rafa'a is Ausi, and these brothers are from Khazraj. He came, عليه الصلاة والسلام, to Medina. And there was a setting of animosity between these two tribes. Khazraj being the bigger tribe. Aus being the more aggressive one. And this became quite known around Arabia. Because the wars went on for over 3 decades. When I say wars, I mean not actual armies, but rather raidings. A couple of people would gather up from this tribe and raid a house in this tribe, killing a few people, stealing stuff, and then they would do the same, and it goes back and forth for a couple of decades, and then the blood count just piles up over a number of years, in the pile, and the number of killed was over a couple of thousand. So alayhi sallam came to the Medina with this problem being quite prevalent. And he worked hard to change that reality. Now for someone from Aus to be robbed by someone from Khazraj, this is just going to bring it all back again. And the examples of this is known. The Prophet alayhi sallam in a number of different incidents, he had to stop the fighting between Aus and Khazraj, even sometimes from Sahaba who are credible. Like great Sahaba would allow that animosity that's been there for so long to cause them to say something they probably wouldn't have said outside of that context. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام once on the minbar during the same period when Aisha was spoke of, قال من يعذرني من رجل يكلم يعني يؤذيني في أهلي, who can يعني protect me or offer me a way out from a person who's harming me and my family. So, of course, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul is a Khazraji. So a person from Aus stood up, قَالَ أَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ دُلَّنَا عَلَيْهِ نَضْرِبْ عُنُقَهُ Tell us who he is. Everyone knew who it was. Tell us who it is, and we will chop his head off. Because everyone knew who it was. And a man from Khazraj stands up, قَالَ لَا وَاللَّهِ إِذَا نَقْطَعْ عُنُقَكَ وَعُنُقَ أَبِيكَ No, we will cut your head off and your father's head off. And the Prophet ﷺ قَالَ اجلسوا Forget about it. I don't want any help. Let him speak. Let him say what he wants. So he had run into these problems before. So he got very upset. Now, here's a twist in the story. Banu Ubayriq, one of them was standing on the roof when Qatada was snooping around. He saw him snooping around asking questions. So he came down and said, I think we've been made. So we need a plan. They gather and Bashir says, I need you all to go and testify with me that we know who actually took the dirah wasn't us, and we've been falsely accused. So the two brothers said yes, and there was a cousin who said, no, I'm not going to go and lie to the Prophet ﷺ's face. So they asked him, can you at least hold your tongue? Just don't say anything. Don't testify with us, but don't testify against us. So he agreed. So they go to the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we heard that Qatada came to you, accusing us of theft, And he had no bayina. Like he had no real evidence that we did it. And it wasn't us. It was a man called Zayd ibn Samin. And the accused man, his name is Zayd ibn Samin. He was Jewish. And this was a strategic move. What they did overnight is that they took the shield and they buried it in this Jewish man's backyard. And they went to the Prophet ﷺ very upset. You know, we are Muslims, يعني, أسلمنا, and we have been with you for years, and now some guy comes and he accuses us. There's no bayina, there's no evidence, and we know who did it. We saw it, we didn't want to say anything because we didn't want to start a problem, but it was Fulan, it was living right. A funny piece of the story, and it exists in one of the narrations, is that they first of all try to accuse a man called Labid ibn Sahl, who was an Ausi man, was a man from the same tribe. But he was Muslim, and it shows you a little bit of the aggressive piece of the OC people. So we think it's probably Fulan. So he hears this, فَقَالَ لَإِنْ كُنْتُ قَدْ سَرَقْتْ فَلَأُعِدَنَّ مَسْرُوقَاتِي بِرَأْسِ هَذَا السَّيْفِ. If I took it, I'm going to return it with the tip of my sword in the necks of the people who are saying it's me. So they said, okay, no, Afwan is not you. So they looked for someone else. He was too aggressive for them, so they chose Zayd ibn Samin, which is a Jewish man who lives quietly on his own, and he's not from the same faith, so this is perfect. So they say this to the Prophet ﷺ, who then puts together an investigation team. And he sends people to ask questions, and he asks permission from this man to look around his backyard, and they were able to retrieve the dirah from the backyard. Now the Prophet ﷺ has evidence. There's a trail of qamh that was going to his house that Banu Ubayriq artificially put there, and they found the dirah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam calls Qatada, and Qatada is telling the story, and he chastises him. You came to me and you accused a house of Muslims of theft and robbery. You had no evidence. قال يقول قتادة حتى تمنيت لو أني أنفقت مالي كله لعمي وَلَمْ أُكَلِّمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then until I wished that I had not brought this to his attention at all, I just went and bought everything back from my uncle, put it in his shed, made him happy, and ended the whole story so I wouldn't have to deal with it. And I didn't talk to him because I felt so bad about myself. Because Qatada himself felt that, yeah, everyone was convinced that it wasn't Banu Ubayriq, it wasn't these three brothers or one of them, it was this man here, and there was a misunderstanding or a misconception of what occurred. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam intended after Fajr to stand on the minbar and to do tabri'ah. Tabri'ah means is to exonerate Bashir ibn Ubayriq and say that there was a false, because the rumors spread in communities. You want to exonerate this gentleman from the accusation of robbery and to point out Zayd as the person who stole and command him to return the whatever he stole, etc., etc. In the middle of the night, Jibreel would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which was probably the only documented story that I have of him coming midnight, meaning waking him up from his sleep, get up, read. And then he recited upon him the verses that I shared with you in Fajr. Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqq litahkuma bayna an-nasi bima araka Allah. Indeed, we have descended this book to you with righteousness, so that you may judge amongst people with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you, as justly as you can. He can only be as just as he can as a human judge, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَا تَكُلْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا. And do not defend the traitors, those who betrayed. وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. And ask Allah for forgiveness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah will grant you His forgiveness and His mercy, because the Prophet ﷺ intended to defend Bashir ibn Ubayriq and point out Zayd. So he's telling the Prophet ﷺ, do not defend the traitor and ask Allah for forgiveness for attempting to accuse someone who didn't do something of doing something. Are you understanding? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's just following the evidence. وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And don't argue on behalf of those who betrayed themselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are traitors and are sinful. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. As they hide themselves from people, from the eyes of people. وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ And they're not hiding themselves from the eyes of God when they do so. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ As he is there with them. إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ As they say at night and agree to do something that he does not okay, that he does not accept and he is not okay with. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all of the aspects of what they are doing. هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ جَادَلْتُمْ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Here today, many of you defending them in this life. فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Who is going to argue on their behalf on the Day of Judgment to Allah? أَمَّنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا Who is it who is going to be their wakil, who's going to take care of them and speak on their behalf? وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا Those who do wrong or oppress themselves and then turn to Allah asking for forgiveness will find Allah to be very forgiving and full of mercy. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبِ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا And those who do something that allow them to bring sin into their lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them as they do so. They can't hide it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبَ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا And then someone who goes and they practice sin, they do something wrong, and they do a خَطِيئَة, they fall into a mistake that is clear, an ethical one. ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا And then they go and they accuse someone who is innocent. He's speaking of Zayd ibn Samin. Person from outside the faith. A person from a faith that has always brought problems to the Prophet ﷺ. This was after Banu Nadir and Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Qurayza had betrayed him ﷺ and tried to kill him, all three tribes. All three tribes had tried to kill him ﷺ at this point. And Khaybar was on its way. After this story, Khaybar happened. Like within a month of this story, he had to go to Khaybar where the Jewish tribes had all gathered trying to remove him alayhi salatu wasalam again. So from a person not only from outside the faith, but also from a faith that had, at the time was showing animosity to him alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran would come and exonerate Zayd ibn Samin. ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا Then this person is carrying a buhtan, which is worse, the worst type of lie. A lie that has no basis to it, and a lie that you are going to be carried, held accountable for, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I'm going to be punished for. وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا clear sin. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ And if it wasn't for the bounty of Allah upon you, عَلَيْكَ, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically, وَرَحْمَتُهُ and his mercy upon you. لَهَمَّ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُضِلُّوا There was a group of them that were trying to misguide you. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ And they can only misguide themselves. وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ They cannot harm anyone but themselves. They can't harm you. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ And the book has been descended upon you and wisdom has been given to you and Allah taught you that which you never knew. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا And the bounty of Allah upon you has been great. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Most of the time, there is no خير in the najwa of people when they gather and they conspire and talk in the darkness. There's very few خير there, unless إلا من أمر بصدقة. Except if you're doing that with the intention of agreeing on giving a صدقة secretly to someone without them knowing. أو معروف or doing a good deed for someone who's in need of it. أو إصلاح بين الناس or conspiring to bring people that have fought for many years together again. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ And if someone conspires quietly in the night in the darkness for that reason, فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا There's a lot of ajr for them for that. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ You see, Bashir, after these verses were revealed, left. ارتد. He committed apostasy. And he went back to Mecca. And he fought with the Quraysh and he died there. And he lost his dunya and his akhirah. Bashir ibn Ubay Riqadah. The rest of his family stayed quiet. We don't know what came of them. But this ayah, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ The person who puts himself in confrontation with the Prophet. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى After guidance was made clear to him. وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And he follows the way of those aside from the believers. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى We allow this person to go in the direction they want to go. وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And then you will have them enter Jahannam, and that is the worst of endings. And the Quran came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in the middle of the night to exonerate a Jewish man and show the guilt of a Muslim man from a different tribe, and point out to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that you must استغفر الله. You must seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making... He didn't do anything wrong, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did nothing wrong. He followed the evidence. That's all he did. He had no way to know. I'm telling you this story very confidently because I know what happened after. He didn't. He could only follow the evidence. And the Quran refused for the night to go through with an innocent man being accused of something he didn't do. Even if that meant that you're exonerating someone from outside the faith and accusing someone from inside the faith. Even if that meant that the two tribes are going to have animosity, the animosity between the two tribes is going to be fueled even more. None of that matters. None of that matters because all that matters in Islam is that justice is served. That is all that ever mattered within Islam. In the same surah, a few verses later, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Oh, those who believe, be advocates of justice and testifiers for the sake of Allah, even if that means you must testify against yourselves or your parents, or your family members. Whether they are wealthy or poor, strong or weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves that from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves from you the advocacy of righteousness, the advocacy of justice. Can you imagine? See, I could have told you this story differently, but I didn't want to take all the morning for you. I could have given you a scenario. I could have just extrapolated from this story. I could have told you have this garbage neighbor, a horrible human being, not Muslim, someone you just don't enjoy at all. And he gets robbed. And another neighbor gets accused of it. And you find out that it was your brother or someone who's related to you. What do you do? You don't like the person, so you feel like they had it coming. You just cover the robbery in term financially and never let justice... What do? You're standing at a light and your mother has to be driving by and she hits someone. What do you testify and say in court? This is the worst scenario that could exist. These scenarios are horrible. They are horrible. Like, these are so bad that you make dua all your life, Ya Rabbi, do not put me in that position. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all of our family members. It's the worst thing ever to be in a position where you saw someone you love do something wrong. Are you able to testify? Are you able to say the truth? If you have a hesitation, even for a second, then you have not understood. Then we have not understood what our deen is about. If you have to say, even for a moment, you're like, no, I can't, and it's my brother. Doesn't matter. Because haqq is haqq and adl is adl. And this is what this story is. This story in Surah Al-Qisat Al-Dir', the story of the shield, of the stolen shield, is there for this conclusion that you're always obligated to speak the truth. You're always obligated to stand by justice, even if that means you're going to harm yourself and harm your family members. And we don't have, that doesn't exist in the law system here. You understand that you're not, you're legally, ethically, in this part of the world, you are not obligated to say anything that will incriminate yourself. You know that? You are not obligated ethically in this criminal system here, criminal justice system in Canada and the States, to say anything that will incriminate yourself. Even if you're a criminal, even if you did the crime, you're not obligated to say ethically, forget legally. Legally, you don't have to do anything. But ethically, you don't have to say anything that will incriminate yourself. Because you know you're allowed to defend at least yourself. The Quran says, "Walau ala anfusikum," even against yourself, you must testify for the truth. If you did, even against yourself, yes, you'll incriminate. If you did something criminal, then you will incriminate yourself. This is the key difference that we have of how we see these things. Now, do we practice it? I don't know. But this is the story of Zayd ibn Samin and Banu Ubayriq, of this Jewish man, Zayd, and the sons of Ubayriq, and how it all turned out. As a nice piece of the story at the end, is that Rafa'a ibn Zayd, after he got his shield back and all that ended, he gave it away as sadaqah. فَقَالَ قَتَادَ فَعْلِمْتُ أَنَّ إِيمَانَهُ اسْتَقَرْ فَفَرِحْتُ. So I knew that his iman was strong and that he's not like I was stolen by Muslims. You know the guy, that type of person who comes in and like he hasn't prayed for years and he's like, تعال صلي كذا. He comes, he prays, and his shoes get stolen from the masjid. And then he's like, you brought me, I prayed, I have no shoes anymore. Go buy me shoes and next time you want to take me somewhere, make me a church or some other. And they lose their deen because like this is what I get from Muslims. And he was scared of that. Now it's not right, but that's what Qatada was scared of. And then his uncle gave his dirah sadaqah, yani for Muslims. So he was happy that his uncle held on to his deen appropriately. I hope that story was of benefit to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us advocates of justice and of righteousness. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair wa barakallahu feekum. Inshallah ta'ala, we will have our breakfast. The gentlemen will be in this part of the masjid, and the sisters can go up front and they'll bring inshallah whatever food.